I hope everyone is doing well. God gave us some really good weather. I think this past week, it was nice and warm outside. I hope you got a chance a little bit, maybe to just step outside of your homes and breathe in some of that fresh air as it's possible. And, you know, I think this week the temperature is going to drop again. But, you know, in the cold and in the heat, in the morning or the evening, no matter what circumstances, no matter what's going on in our lives, we know that God is always good. Amen. God is so very good to us. And today we're going to look at another psalm together, and we're going to look at Psalm 146 together. And the title of today's message is, Who is a Leader We Can Trust? You know, and this kind of question, right? Who is a leader that we can fully trust without a doubt that they will be who they say they are, that they will keep the promises that they make, that they will model for us at all times how we too ought to follow and live. In this world, I hate to break it to you, there is not one person that you can trust fully. There's not one person who will never fail you in some way in your relationship with them. In fact, the truth is that there's only one person in this whole world, in this whole universe, that you can trust fully, who is a leader that we can trust. And we were just singing praises to him earlier. He is God, the one who shows us and reveals to us more about himself and more about what it means to be a leader that we can fully devote our lives to, fully follow without even a question of his goodness and character. And so I've already answered the question, who is a leader that we can trust? It is God alone. And in our lives, that's who we must look to. That's why we go into the Word of God every single day. That's why we go to the Word of God, especially on Sundays, to study his word and to worship him together, because he is the leader that we can trust with our whole lives and with our whole hearts. And so let's go ahead and look to the Word of God together today in Psalm 146. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 146 together. And this is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Let me pray for us one more time before we get into the word. God, we thank you again for this word. We thank you that we can study it together and that, Lord, the Bible is living and active. It's not just an antiquated text, an ancient text that is not relevant to our lives. No, God, it is so relevant. And we pray that today you would speak powerfully to each one of us, that we would hear your word, not my words, but your word being preached, and that we will be moved and challenged and given your peace and comfort so that we will learn what it means to trust in you as our leader. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as God's people, for those of us who are professing believers of Jesus Christ, as God's people, the question is, Are we living our lives with God as our leader? Are we living our lives trusting in him as the leader that we can devote our lives to following? And the question is, you know, why is God the leader that we can trust? And there's three things that come out in this psalm that I want to go over together today. And these are the points. First thing is this, right? That he is a leader. God is a leader that we can trust because, one, he is worthy of our praise. Secondly, he is eternally trustworthy. That means not just for a time you can trust him, but forever and ever in his character, we know that we can trust him with eternity forever. Last thing, he is gracious in his character. So those are the three things that we're going to look at together today. Why God is the only leader that we can trust fully and that we can devote, that we should devote our lives to. So let's go ahead and look at that first point, that he is worthy of our praise. Verses 1-2, look at what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, for those of us who have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, we know that he is indeed worthy of our praise. And we're going to talk more about why he's so worthy of our praise in the following points. But it's so interesting here that we see the psalmist begin by simply telling his soul to praise the Lord. But an interesting thing that we don't really pick up on in the English is that that first praise the Lord is actually a plural form in the second person. So it's almost like saying you all, not almost like, it is saying you all praise the Lord. Let's go back to the previous slide. So you all praise the Lord, right? So telling the entire community of believers, praise the Lord. So it's saying without a doubt, who is the one that is worthy of our praise? It is the Lord. And remember again, the Lord is spelled with a capital L-O-R-D, that this is the Creator God, the one God of the universe, the one that we worship, the one that we know to be true. Okay. And so we see first, praise the Lord. You all praise the Lord to the community. And then he turns personally and says, I am making a commitment. I'm speaking to my own soul, praise the Lord. And then he goes further and says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, this is an awesome thing, isn't it? I mean, this shows to us that the Psalms, again, sometimes we take these Psalms and maybe we use it as our own personal devotional time, but it was always within a community of people. So in order for the community of believers to praise God, to truly praise God, then even individually, we must each on our own make a commitment to praise the Lord. It's like that even in our families, you know, isn't it? You know, when we praise the Lord, you know, how awesome and amazing is it when each person truly knows the Lord, and when we come together and sing songs of praise, there's just something in it that God meant for us to be able to hear one another, to be able to share in song together. So essentially, the psalmist begins by saying, this leader that we can trust, he is worthy of our praise. So why the command, right? Why does he say to his own soul, praise the Lord? It's an interesting thing, I think. This idea of praise, sometimes it just feels like, well, I sing songs of praise when I feel like it, right? We kind of see it as maybe an emotive or an emotional experience. Sometimes when we're going through difficulty in life, well, we don't really feel like praising him. Right? I'm sure throughout the course of the week, when you're busy with work and when you're doing all sorts of things, maybe there's a big part of you that doesn't feel like praising the Lord. Maybe, in fact, sometimes when difficult things happen or things don't go your way, you feel like cursing the Lord, the opposite of praising the Lord. Well, what I want to share is this, that indeed, as believers, we must follow God and learn to praise him in the midst of anything. in the midst of whatever we go through. You see, the times that we stop praising the Lord is when we take our focus off of God and who he is, and instead start focusing on the troubles, on the hardships, on the difficulties at hand. So you see, he has to command his own soul. He has to make this commitment to praise the Lord. Yes, he's already a follower of God, but every day in the same way, we must learn to make a commitment to praise God. Are you going through hardship emotionally? Maybe some relationships that have been broken. Maybe in your career, something that you feel like you deserved and you didn't get. Maybe the loss of a loved one, whatever it might be. And in the midst of that, you're so just lost in that circumstance that it's hard for you to praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that I don't understand that, but I'm saying the psalmist has to consciously tell his soul, himself, praise the Lord. I hope that you and I, our church, will be filled with individuals that are looking to God and saying, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And as we say that as a community together, we will be able to focus on God and praise him. Now, I shared a little bit about my dad, last week. And I've been thinking a lot about him more. I told you his birthday is actually coming up in this month, on the 22nd of March. And I did the math and he would have been 68 this year. He passed away 20 years ago. At the age of 48, right, due to gastric cancer. And I think sharing about him, it helps me to remember his life. And, it's also part of the process. I know it's been so long, but just continuing to think on him and, just thanking God for the time that I did have with my father here on this earth, remembering how devoted he was to his church and to God and to his calling as a pastor, but also as a husband, to my mom and as a dad, to me and my brothers. And these verses, they reminded me of my father, because when it comes to singing praise, I think he is someone that I always remember and think of. He was a true tenor. He sang classical, he was classically trained vocals, and he had an amazing voice. And I remember always hearing my father sing songs of praise. I mean, whether it was at home, in the shower, at church when he was leading worship through praise, or singing in front of a crowd for a concert. My father was always praising the Lord. And if you see these pictures here, here he is. He's young and vibrant, and you just see that he's in good health, right? But when I read these verses, it's kind of strange, but this word praise and this idea of praising even in the midst of difficulty, it's not actually in these times that I remember, when there were all smiles and he was healthy physically and able to hold us and all these kinds of things. I know many of us have been touched by illness and by cancer, whether it's a loved one, whether it's something that we went through ourselves. We know how difficult it is to see someone physically becoming so worn down. Like, we know maybe perhaps what it's like to see someone just literally, it's like their health is being stripped away from them little by little because of cancer. And so when I hear this word praise and causing to praise and singing songs of praise, instead of remembering these times when he was healthy and when he was able to, hold us up and take care of us and do all these things together with us, what I remember is actually when his body was so worn down by cancer, that when I would visit him in the hospital, he could barely open his eyes, that it got so bad that he could barely speak a word. And I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it 1,000 more times, but the thing that I remember most is that in the midst of his cancer, towards the very tail end, when it took away almost every function that you could think of physically, he still always hummed his favorite hymns. He still hummed his favorite songs of praise to the Lord, even in the midst of pain and perhaps in the darkest hours of his life. He sang songs of praise to God. You know, when the world would say, see, where is God now? You trust him to lead you? Look how this is ending up. You're leaving your wife, your young wife, and your young children behind. That's what the world might say. That's what the evil one might say. But my dad, who knew God, he wasn't cursing God. He was praising him with all that he had left, with all of his being, just in the same way that this psalmist commits to it. I want that to be my life. And so no matter how young or how old you are, as long as you have your being, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise him with song and with words, but also in how we live our lives for him. This is what it means to trust that the Lord leads us. He is so praiseworthy that even in the darkest hours, when we focus on him, we can continue to sing songs of praise. No matter what life circumstances, we sing praise to the Lord. Second thing is this, that he is eternally trustworthy, eternally trustworthy. This is what verses 3-4 says. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Now, I want to keep this part kind of short because in the past few years, you know, never have I seen people put such an emphasis on earthly leaders. Now, you know me, I don't preach politics from the pulpit, but I can speak truth about politics and politicians and earthly leaders because the Word of God speaks to that even right here in these verses. If ever you put your trust wholly in any man, especially an earthly leader, and truly believe that they are the ones who can cure the injustices and hardships and evils and different things going on, not only in our country, but in the world, you are going to be sorely disappointed. Even now, there are many people who saw change, who wanted change, and are still sorely disappointed. You see, if you put your trust in politicians and elevate one as good and one as evil, you're actually putting your trust in imperfect people, no matter what you think or know about them. If you're relying on any politician or any earthly leader to change a single heart, he or she will fail you, period. Why? They are earthly leaders, and in them, there is no salvation. That's it. There is no salvation in human leadership. No, there is only salvation in the Lord. Period. That's it. He is the only leader that we can put our whole trust in him. How many times have we heard, if it was just this person, if it was just that person, then you know, the world would look so much better or brighter. No, it is the work of the church, of us as Christians, to show the love of God, the one true leader we can trust, the only one in whom there is salvation, the only one in whom we can see changes in the heart. There's no re-education that will take away sin. There's no amount of hours in classes or seminars that will take away sin. No, you need to have a real experience with the one true God who is eternally trustworthy. All the promises that God makes, he has kept, and he will continue to keep. You know, it's sad. Many earthly leaders, the promises that they make only go so far as not even till they're dead. But so far as so long as it takes to get your vote, to get into power, that's not what God does. Because in his character, he is eternally trustworthy. It never ends. From the beginning to forever, God, his promises, who he is, will never change. We are finite, and yet God is infinite. He's the only one who is eternal, and he's the one we must trust to lead us. And you know what the awesome thing is this eternal God of ours, eternally trustworthy, he gives us the eternal promises of his in his word. And you know, it's kind of interesting when we see the verses here, when it talks about the imagery, when a man's breath departs, he dies and goes back into the earth, right? It's finite. But when God, when his breath goes forth, the world is set into motion. When the Lord breathes out, he breathes life, eternity. And so there's this difference of trustworthiness, one that is fragile, failing, and one that is true and forever. And I pray that as God's people, we will always look to God alone, the Lord alone, his promises. Trust in him, follow him. Let's learn to do that together as his people. Stop putting your trust in the princes and the leaders of this world. No, in all things we go to God. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for those in Congress. We pray for everyone in the Senate. We pray that God would be the one to lead them as well, to change their hearts. But as the church, that's our duty. Let's learn to bring God's truth and his grace to all those around us. Let's show that God is the leader that we can trust, and in him is the one that we find salvation and hope. And because of that, when other people see, when they get tired of trusting in princes of this world, when they get tired of trusting in man that fails, then we show them the only one, the only person who will never fail them, and that is God, the God that we follow, the one leader that we can truly trust. Last thing is this, we can trust in God, and we can call him the leader that we put our full trust and devotion in, because he is gracious in his character. Now, if God is not who he says he is in the word, if God is not who he says he is in the Bible, then he is not worthy of our trust. He is not worthy to be our leader. But in fact, when you look at the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, God never changes in his character. And we see every promise that he makes come true. And even in our lives, when we focus on him, when we put our eyes on him and the word, no matter what's going on around us, all the circumstances that may change, we will also see that he, in his character, always stays true. Now, these verses are so filled with truth. We're going to break them down a little bit, one by one. And we can see how the psalmist beautifully lays out what we know about the Lord, his character, and whom we can trust. So verse 5 says this: blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. So he begins by, again, telling us this eternal trustworthiness of our God. You see, we follow the God of Jacob. We follow the God of hope. We follow the God who made the heavens and the earth. And what does he do to finish up the phrase? He says, who keeps faith forever. You see, God, in his gracious character, he promises those who believe in him, he promises to us that he is the one who will keep us forever. You see, he will keep and hold on to us even when we are trying to go astray, even when we may falter. He is the one who keeps us forever. And why? Because that is who he is. That is the character of his grace. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, this is what it says. Another reminder: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So with no need to worry. Why? For he who promised is faithful. You see how there's that connection? Again, he has not changed from this psalm all the way to the New Testament in Hebrews 10:23. The character of God remains the same. He is our God, the leader in whom we can trust. And so now let's take a little bit of a deeper look into some of these verses, following verses, about the character of God and his grace for his people. Verse 7 says this, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. You know, with all the injustices that we face and see in our world, God reminds us that at the end of it all, he will bring justice and judgment to the wicked and to those who are against God and his truth. And as God's people, at times it may seem like we are losing. As God's people, at times it may seem like the biblical truth that we hold to are being attempted to be shattered by the world, by different policies that take place. But we hold firm to what God teaches us because we trust him as our leader. We trust him as the one who will, at the end of the day, execute final judgment in this world. We know that there's victory in him. And that at times, even when it seems like we are losing, in fact, no, God is still in control and he will execute justice for the oppressed. And while we are in this world, he will always provide for us. He will always take care of us. That's what it's talking about here, who gives food to the hungry. Our daily bread, our needs, God gives us not only physical food, but spiritual food himself for us to feast on. And as the more we know of him, the more we see that he gives us all that we need. Verse 8 says this, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Now, this verse can be taken in two ways, but both show God's grace. God is literally the creator of the world. And we saw Jesus do many miracles, one of which is to be able to make a blind man who has never been able to see, to be able to see for the very first time. And we've also seen him heal one who used to be able to see, but then something happened. They were not able to see and they were blinded and then be made able to see again. You see, God is a healer. And there's two ways. Physically, he is a healer, but also spiritually, he is a healer. Only God can do that. Only God has the power to do that. In another way, you know, we have to remember this kind of spiritual healing that only God can do. So it says that the Lord loves the righteous. Well, who are the righteous? No person can be righteous on their own. We trust in God's grace to open up our spiritual eyes to see who he is clearly. And so the blindness, there's physical, but there's also spiritual blindness that only God can open up our eyes to see. And when we see God clearly, we see how beautiful he is. We see his grace. We see how awesome, how righteous, how powerful, how glorious he is. And we devote our lives to him and we say, I'm going to follow you, God. You're the leader that I can trust in. And we know, God, when we trust in him with our whole hearts, no matter the situation, we're encouraged because we know that he is with us and for us. He loves us, right? The Lord loves the righteous. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Now, in God's grace, we have to remember, always it is plentifully available to anyone who would choose to receive it. For anyone who respond in repentance and faith in Jesus, they will be forgiven. They will know the salvation that is in God. But the reality is that there is the way of the wicked. There are those who will never trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that will never look to the Lord as their God. And we know that in the end of it all, that brings ruin. But what I want to focus on here in God's grace and love is that he reaches out with compassion, especially to those who are in need, perhaps those who are oftentimes overlooked by the world. And so he mentions the orphans and the widow and the fatherless. He looks out for those who perhaps don't have someone to look out for them. That's the God that we sang about, good, good Father. That's the God that we know is our God who we trust in. And now I know I've shared about my father and my family a lot lately, but even in this verse, I have seen it lived out. I have seen God's character be so true. You know, my mother, you know, who many of you have met, you know, when she came to visit us, that's her next to Esther in this picture. You know, she has now been a widow for 20 years. And there's just no way that she will be still here with us. I truly believe it. There's no way that she'd still be here with us if it wasn't for our loving and gracious God upholding her. If it wasn't for God in his grace who was giving her comfort and peace in the midst of such times of deep grief and pain of losing her husband. You know, I think it took some time for me. You know, I always thought, well, I lost my dad, you know, but for her to lose her husband, you know, her soulmate, only by God's grace, truly, is she still here with us. I truly believe that. But here's the amazing thing, is not only did God uphold her, but I saw my mom grow in her relationship with God deeper, even singing songs of praise in a more deeper way, going into times of word on her own in a deeper way, growing in her relationship with God so much, trusting in him even more after losing her husband, my father, to cancer. And I thank God for that, because that's not human. That's not her strength. It's God's strength in her. And I thank God for my little brother. He's right there, right? All the way to the left in this picture. He's 10 years younger than me. He was only 7 years old when my dad passed away. But I thank God, I praise him that I can call him not only my biological brother, but I can call him my spiritual brother in Christ, because I was actually there to be able to help lead him to Christ in a time of prayer at a retreat by God's sovereign hand, one that he wasn't even going to go to, but we ended up going together. And I remember praying for him and just pouring out tears of thankfulness and gratitude to our God. Because even though he may be fatherless on this earth since the age of 7, that our God in heaven never left his side. And now he's getting ready to get married. It's crazy to me, because I still think of him as that little 7-year-old that I need to take care of and that, you know, I want to protect. And now he's this, you know, he's growing up, and it's in the Lord. It's with God. And so I thank God. I thank him for who he is. I thank him that he is a God who takes care of his people. Eternally trustworthy. So gracious in his character. And we're going to close by reading verse 10. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. A timely reminder that our Lord reigns forever and ever. A timely reminder as we draw near to Easter Sunday, when we know the victory was ultimately won. We remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again on the third day, and now he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He is the leader that we can trust. He is alive. He reigns. And until we see him again, he will lead us and keep us. He's the only leader, the only one whom we can trust, ultimately trust with everything. He's worthy of our praise, eternally trustworthy, and so gracious in his character. So who is the leader that we can trust? It's the one true God. And so here's my question to you. Are you following his lead? Are you trusting in him with your whole life? Follow his lead through his word and who he reveals himself to be. Grow in your relationship with him. He is the leader who we can trust. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we can sing about who you are, that we can learn about who you are. God, you are so good to us. And you will never change. That's why it says we praise you for all the generations. So God, would you be with us? Would you help us to keep our hearts and minds and lives focused on you. And Lord, if you have blessed us with children, I pray, Lord, that we would follow you as parents, and so that our children would see that indeed you are trustworthy, that indeed you are the leader that we are following as well as parents, and that they too would want to follow this God who loves us and knows us and is so gracious. So God, we just thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.